set for baseball here at the Mon between the visiting Trenton Thunder and the Black Bears.
You're almost ready for baseball here. Beautiful rendition of our national anthem by that young lady down there.
Absolutely. Certainly one of the better ones here at Mon County Ballpark, would have to say, to this point in the season.
Yes, absolutely.
Get set here for the top half of the first. Black Bears defensive alignment, of course, Ryan Mann on the hill. Mauricio Milan behind the plate. Your Black Bears infield from left to right. Ben Greer, Blaze Brothers, Xavier Pinales, and Ryan Hernandez, the outfield from left to right. Kyle Hess, Caden Trenkel, and Merrick Schloop. Ryan Mann working here against EJ Exposito, followed by Michael Curiali and Andrew Cassetti, three atop the Trenton lineup that will certainly be testing Ryan Mann, but the lanky right-hander certainly can live up to that challenge.
Yeah, man, lengthy is the right word. 6'5", 180, really gets some torque behind that fastball. An extra break on those off-speed pitches with that length. Arms and legs coming at you. Could be a little distracting or intimidating even if you're a hitter. Man on the season, of course, has earned this start. He's 3-0 with a 4 ERA and 9 innings pitched. The whip at 144. 7 walks to 7 strikeouts, only 6 hits allowed, so he's really earned this start. If he keeps his walks down and limits the free passes, as we've been talking about for weeks here, then I think he's going to have a pretty good day. I'm expecting 2 innings out of Mann today, as it is a bullpen game. But if he is efficient and pitches well the first 2, Jedrico may think about sending him out there for a 3rd.
All just dependent upon how this game progresses here tonight for the Black Bears, as Mauricio Milan fires down to second base to conclude the warm-up period, and EJ Exposito will stand in shortstop tonight for the Thunder. 318 average thus far in the draft league, looking to kickstart the offense tonight for Trenton.
Yeah, Exposito, of course, out of New York, Central Islip from Long Island University.
Greer on the infield grass as man works from the windup. First pitch fouled down the first base line. Picked up by Hernandez there in foul territory, but certainly a solid pitch to start out with if you're Ryan Mann.
First pitch swinging for Trenton. We saw this a lot early last night as our starting pitcher was able to get 8 pitches in the first inning. I believe it might have even been 8 in the second inning. He had a longer third, throwing 22 to 26 pitches, but still it was an efficient, aggressive start.
Jeremy Cook, last night's starting pitcher, 0-1 from Mann. Fastball taken just below the knees, evens the count 1-1.
The fans that made the trip out today, even though the threat of rain, which it looks like has gone away, thought that was a strike, as did I.
Mann working from the windup. Pitch missing outside. Apparently the pitch did catch the zone. We didn't really get a strike call from Justin Murphy behind the plate, so it's a 1-2 count.
Yeah, I didn't even see any sort of movement.
Pitch comes home to Exposito, and he dribbles it down the first base line. It stayed right on the chalk, and Hernandez steps on the bag, but then goes ahead and applies the tag. I don't know if he misstepped over there and didn't touch the bag, but applies the tag nonetheless.
Yeah, it looks like, well, it was just dribbled down to first. It was a weird play. Dribbled down to first, and Hernandez picked it up, and when he stepped on the bag, he kind of bobbled the ball or threw it up as he was about to throw it around. So he wasn't on the base, but was able to tag the runner.
And now Jed Jerko coming out to talk to home plate umpire Justin Murphy. We see the athletic trainer making her way down to the dugout as something maybe going on in the Trenton bullpen?
Not sure. Everybody's...
Saw some pointing towards left field.
I don't know what's going on. All the Thunder players kind of looking down to the pen. The athletic trainer appears to be quickly making her way across the outfield. Two Black Bears players are bringing her gear towards the Black Bears dugout, and now look like They're going to run across. I believe it's Dante Stewart bringing the gear across to the Trenton bullpen as well. Hopefully everything's okay down there.
Certainly unforeseen circumstances. Of course, player safety always the number one priority, as it is in fact something in the Thunder bullpen with the left field door open.
And we saw something like this in the Pirates-Cubs game a couple weeks ago. It was extremely hot out, and a coach, I believe, passed out down there. But it's 76. It's very humid tonight, but it's not overly hot. So hopefully everyone's all right down there. We saw about a 10-minute delay in the Pirates game because of that, as our trainer has gotten to the bullpen out there. Waiting for, I believe it's Dante Stewart, to run off the field now. Looks like we're going to resume play, but we'll keep an eye on what's going on out there and see if we can update you when we can.
Michael Curiale stepping to the plate. Mentioned that he was 1-for-4
I believe
last night.
There's a Thunder player sitting down against his back against the fence.
First pitch swinging is Curiale, carrying out to right center field. Trenkel over to make the grab for a quick out number two.
Yeah, good response by Mann after the short delay.
Andrew Cassetti step into the plate now.
I believe that is Ryan Figueroa out there.
That was what I had seen as well.
In the Thunder bullpen getting looked at, he is sitting down against the fence back to us, getting questioned right now by the athletic trainer.
First pitch off the bat of Cassetti, carrying foul down the first baseline and heading into the berm for a long strike one. Cassetti hitting .391 as a member of the Trenton Thunder. Second year in the draft league, spent last season with them as well. Certainly no stranger to the MLB Draft League.
Man looking to keep working efficiently. Only the seventh pitch of the inning coming here. He's already got two outs and an 0-1 count.
Pitch comes home from Man, fouled off onto the roof of the Trenton Thunder dugout. Quickly, no balls and two strikes to Andrew Cassetti.
Yeah, see if he can put him away here and get an eight-pitch inning. We saw that last night to start the game, the first two innings. See if Mann can get a quick inning and maybe extend his outing.
Mann continuing to work from the windup. Long leg kick, 0-2 pitch. Curveball missing down and away. 1-2 now to Cassetti.
Yeah, good waist pitch there and a good take all around. As if you're watching on the monitor, you get a look there at the situation going on in the bullpen. Doesn't look like anything too serious.
1-2, fastball rather, changeup missed outside. So we're back even 2-2.
It's good battle here by Cassetti.
Cassetti looking to be the first base runner for the Trenton Thunder tonight out of St. Joseph's University. 2-2 pitch, hit hard to short, diving attempt there made by Blaze Brothers. Can't get the glove to it, and now Cassetti thought about the hustle double, but falls as he takes the turnaround first and has to ultimately retreat for a two-out single.
He does a good job getting the ball back in right there. And nice piece of hitting by Cassetti to get on base.
So the Thunder get into the hit column first as Ryan McCarthy, tonight's left fielder for Trenton, was last night's center fielder, making his way into the batter's box. First pitch to him, waves and misses at a fastball there from Mann for strike one.
Nice job getting ahead of the hitter by Mann there. Good response after losing the last guy and evening the count, led to a single.
McCarthy out of Cumming, Georgia. Business administration major at Citadel as that one comebacker up the middle carries into center field. So it's back-to-back singles for the Trenton Thunder that puts runners at first and second.
Yeah, Mann stabbed at it. It was pretty close, but could not quite get a hand on it. As it looks like our situation in the bullpen, that player is now standing up doing some, looks like, tests of some sort. My guess is that he passed out, but obviously cannot confirm that.
The the very least, he's up on his feet. Always a positive sign.
He appears to be okay, which is a very good sign.
Man now working from the stretch with the runners at first and second. Two outs here in the top of the first. No score between the Thunder and Black Bears as the first pitch fastball misses outside for ball one.
Man, a seven-inning game. This is like starting in the top of the third here, so limiting the damage is something we've talked about before, even though none has been done yet. Limiting may not even be the best thing to do. You just have to prevent the damage altogether.
Caleb McNeely at the plate. 1-0 pitch to him. Fastball taken on the outer half of the plate for strike one. That evens the count.
And even though he has let back-to-back singles, he's not walking guys just yet, which I'd rather have the other team beat you by hitting the ball in play where other people are not than just giving them free bases.
Absolutely. Man coming set. 1-1 foul to the netting of the backstop, and McNeely now behind, a ball and two strikes.
McNeely was 0-for-4 with an RBI and two strikeouts last night, so definitely susceptible to the K. I'm giving a high heater right here for Mann.
Came into this at bat hitting .218, did McNeely. WVU commit for the fall, so better get used to playing here in Monk County Ballpark. 1-2 for Mann. Off speed, missing just outside, and we're even again 2-2.
Yeah, it'll be a fan favorite here whenever we get into the collegiate season, but for now he's still the enemy at Monk County Ballpark.
Mann coming set at the belt. Kicks and deals. That one's dribbled down the first baseline. A fair ball past the diving Ryan Hernandez. That'll ricochet off the fence. Cassetti is in. McCarthy being held at third. Goes down as an RBI double there for Caleb McNeely, and Trenton strike first once again.
A bit unfortunate there for a man in the Black Bears as that just snuck in the first base bag and missed by Hernandez by just a couple of inches there. Takes a carom off the side wall, allowing runners to advance another base. So an RBI double. Trenton leads early, but that hasn't bothered the Black Bears recently. We'll see if they can overcome yet another early deficit.
Now Jeff Manto standing in. 130 hitter so far. Son of Thunder manager Jeff Manto looking to add on to the lead. First pitch fastball taken inside for strike one.
And Mann's been ahead of every single hitter thus far that has seen more than a one pitch. Just getting a bit unlucky with the ground. He's had three ground balls that have just been past infielders.
Runners at second and third here for Manto out of Bristol, Pennsylvania. 0-1 pitch, another fastball up and in. Had to back him off the plate. Jeff Manto out of Palm Beach State. Spent last season, rather the last four, at Villanova. Man coming set, the 1-1, and Manto skies that one in the air down the first base line with Penales calling off Ryan Hernandez. He makes the grab, and so Ryan Mann able to get himself out of a little bit of a jam, but not before Trenton strikes first with the run on three hits. As we're through half an inning of play here at Mon County Ballpark, it's the Thunder 1 and the Black Bears 0.
Anderson excavating is a reef from the interior and provides
Back here for the bottom of the first in Mon County Ballpark. Caden Trankel, Blaze Brothers, Ryan Hernandez leading off for West Virginia with Angel Cespedes on the mound for Trenton. Jeff Manto behind the plate. The Trent infield, Johnny Weaver, EJ Exposito, Jorge Bajorquez, and Andrew Cassetti. The outfield from left to right is Ryan McCarthy, Caleb McNeely, and Michael Curiali.
Cespedes, 2.53 ERA and 10 2/3. He's given up 13 hits and 7 walks. We talked about that whip in the pregame at 1.88 is pretty high. 11 strikeouts, so I expect a decent amount of traffic on the bases and a decent amount of swings and misses.
Caden Trankel out of Oklahoma State. First pitch swinging, flies this one out in the air to center field. McNeely taking a few steps back and sits underneath of it and retires it for out number one.
Aggressive earlier, the Black Bears. First pitch swinging, he gives it a ride, just got under it a little too much, and making the catch about 5 steps in front of the warning track was the center fielder, McNeely.
Now Blaze Brothers will stand in, a 313 hitter for the Black Bears out of Springdale, Arkansas. Northeastern State product. Spent 2 seasons at Cali County Community College, including a grand slam that he hit in the 2019 JUCO World Series. First pitch to him, fastball that misses down and in for ball one. Angel Cespedes looking to keep the Thunder in the early lead as the 1-0 pitch, another fastball missing above the zone. Didn't phase Brother, so it's 2 balls and no strikes.
2-0, good hitters count. I'm looking for something middle in here for Blaze to deposit into the Thunder bullpen or by the scoreboard and tie this game. Yet to hit a home run here at the Mon.
2-0 pitch. Another fastball from Cespedes that misses outside, and Blaze Brothers quickly ahead in the count. 3 balls and no strikes.
We know that's not going to stop Galuski from giving him the green light here. Actually, Galuski's chopping it up with Brian Fisher down there. Didn't even give a sign, so you know he's going to swing away here.
Cespedes from the windup, and Brothers does, in fact, take a big hack. Tried to tie the game, but comes up empty.
Nothing wrong with that right there. It's exactly what you want to do, 3-0. Get a pitch that you think you can drive and take the biggest swing of your life.
Still a hitter-friendly count for Brothers, nonetheless, at 3-1. Looking to get the Black Bears in the hit column. Pitch comes home from Cespedes. Down and in with another fastball. So Brothers able to draw the 5-pitch walk.
Free pass there. And whenever you have the eye of Brothers combined with the power and ability to drive the ball the other way, you can take that big hack on 3-0 and still work that walk either on 3-1 or 3-2.
Now it'll allow Ryan Hernandez come to the plate with the runner on, a 3-10 hitter so far for West Virginia out of the University of Houston.
I'm digging that walk-up music. I think it's La Mama. Could be wrong, though. Hispanic flair at the ballpark tonight.
Absolutely. First pitch from Cespedes. Chopped foul back towards the Thunder dugout. No balls and a strike quickly to Hernandez.
Nice snatch by the Thunder backup catcher. I'm not sure who that is down there. Could be Gus Sosa. He was warming up Cespedes here before the inning. He still has all his gear on down there.
I have to imagine that it is Sosa after Cristino caught last night. Brothers takes off on the pitch. Bobbled that time by Jeff Manto. So Brothers in with another stolen base. And the count runs the 1-1, I believe.
Number 21 for Brothers. You talked about it yesterday. The league leader was at 22. Do we know if they stole any bases yesterday?
Buck Anderson did not, so he's still at 22. Matthew Etzel stole 2, so he's now at the top with 24. Anderson at 22, and now Brothers with 21.
He could definitely get there now.
1-1 to Hernandez. Fastball at 90 miles per hour. Missing inside. 2 balls and a strike.
I remember it was just yesterday I was saying that I didn't think Brothers could get there. But with the 2 steals yesterday, kind of generous on the second one. But still a steal. He's off early. So a chance to still clinch that stolen base crown here in the first half of the MLB Draft League season.
Would love for him to swipe 1 or 2 more here in this contest. Cespedes coming set at the belt from the stretch. Quick look down to Brothers at second, then delivers. Down and away as the pitch. It gets away from Jeff Manto, so Blaze Brothers will advance. 3-1 the count to Hernandez.
I think the official scorer should just give him a stolen base there, even though that is clearly a wild pitch.
We've talked about some generous scoring here in the draft league. Could really benefit from some even further generous scoring.
That would be absolutely ridiculous if they give him a stolen base.
No, unfortunately, that it won't be, as Brothers now 90 feet away from tying the game up, and Hernandez waves and misses at a 3-1 changeup to run the count full.
It's a nice pitch right there by Cespedes. And an off-balance, bad-looking hack by Hernandez. Left and right, the corner's playing pretty deep here, but the center fielder, McNeely, seems very shallow to me. Very interesting.
Standing just at the towards the top of the flying WV logo. Cespedes delivers. Pitch down and away. It was off speed. Another changeup puts runners at first and third with Hernandez drawing the one-out walk.
Double play back in the picture now with Hernandez at first. Hunter May, though, he is one of the more professional-esque hitters on this team with Brothers. He knows what his job is here. It's to get a ball deep in the air. And you don't have to get it that deep to score the speedy Brothers. Just don't hit it on the ground is really all he's trying to do here.
First pitch to him. Fastball outside taken for strike one. May out of Slidell, Louisiana, a product of Alabama State University. Looking to tie the game at one here for West Virginia in the bottom of the first. 1-0 pitch. Another fastball missing outside. May quickly ahead.
And I am just puzzled at this outfield right now. The center fielder, McNeely, is playing even more shallow than he was before. The left fielder, McCarthy, is basically on the warning track, and the right fielder is pretty much straight up. It's very interesting.
1-1 to May. Again, another fastball taken down low. 2-1 May now officially ahead. The count was even prior to last pitch. Runners at the corners. It's Brothers down at third. Hernandez at first. 2-1 from Cespedes, and May slaps this one the opposite way down the right field line, but carrying onto the berm, so the count goes to 2-2.
Got to protect now, but you got to make sure you don't hit it on the ground. It's one of the toughest things to do is hit with runners on the corners and one away in terms of batting with runners on base.
May hitting 333 with runners at the corners. 2-2 from Cespedes. Change up that misses downstairs below the knees, and it'll run the count full.
Base hit ball four is what they need from Hunter May right now. Merrick Schloop lurks on deck. We know he can do damage as well.
Cespedes looking to be particular here as that one's grounded down the third base line. Looked to be fair, but ruled a foul ball by Justin Murphy behind the plate.
Ooh, that was close. Really, really close. We'll get a look on the replay here. It was definitely fair. Bounced in fair territory before the bag, and then after the bag. Yep, that's a foul ball. That's a tough one. Game ages.
Absolutely. So it'll still be 3-2 here to Hunter May. Large gap on the right side of the infield with the second baseman, Bajorquez, shaded very close to the second base bag.
You can just poke it out there for a hit.
Hernandez takes off. May blasts one in the air out to deep left center field. McNeely going back. That one ricochets off the wall. Brothers is going to score. Jimmy Gluski waving home Ryan Hernandez. Throw going to head towards the plate, and Hernandez is gunned out by a country mile. And as a result, Hunter May able to take second. So second out in the inning, but not before West Virginia ties it at one.
Yeah, Hernandez was dead by a mile there. I'll get to that in a second, but another nice piece of hitting by Hunter May. Thought it might have had a chance to get out. It one hops the tall West Virginia Medicine Children's wall out there. Hernandez was off of the pitch, but kind of stopped at second to make sure it wasn't caught. I know that we're being aggressive here, but that was a little bit too aggressive, in my opinion, by Jimmy Galuski.
Ryan Hernandez certainly not the fastest runner, and you would think at this point in the season Jimmy Galuski would realize that, but
yeah,
here we are. Merrick Schloop standing in. Sunday's walk-off hero. First pitch to him. A changeup missing downstairs. A ball and no strikes.
And was that the left fielder that fielded that ball initially out there?
I believe it was Ryan McCarthy who went and grabbed it and fired it into EJ Exposito as the cutoff man.
So 7-6-2, how you'd score that one. If you're following along with us at home.
And Schlup blisters one in the air deep to left field. McCarthy able to make the grab on the warning track. Thought that one was able to get out, but dying right there on the warning track for the final out. But not before West Virginia ties it at one apiece as we're through an inning of play. 1-1 between Trenton and West Virginia right here on the Black Bears Radio Network. Top of the second here from Mon County Ballpark, 7-8-9 coming to the plate here for the Trent Thunder. Tate Ballestero followed by Johnny Weaver, Jorge Bajorquez. Ballestero, last night's left fielder for the Thunder, now moving to the DH role. Listed as a catcher on the roster, as we've yet to see him behind the plate at Mon County Ballpark.
They have four listed catchers on the roster, and none of them are catching this evening. It's Jeff Manto who's listed as an infielder.
First pitch swinging is Ballestero at one high in the air out to left field. Hess, a step in front of the warning track, brings it in for out number one.
One pitch and one out here for Mann. It'll be big if he can have a short inning here. Maybe he could still go into the third. He threw 20 pitches in the first, though.
That'll bring up Johnny Weaver out of Phoenix, Arizona. Weaver hitting 184 as a member of the Trenton Thunder. Man working from the windup. First pitch. Changeup missing downstairs. Ball and no strikes to Johnny Weaver.
Weaver last night was 1-for-4 with a strikeout.
1-0 to him. Fastball just above the letter, so quickly two balls and no strikes to Weaver.
That pitch looked pretty good to me. Obviously, Justin Murphy did not agree with my take, so 2-0.
Man getting Weaver to pop that one in the air back into section 108. Young Black Bears fan takes home a souvenir, two balls and a strike to Weaver.
I think you got to go right after Weaver here. 8-hitter, 1-for-4 yesterday. Definitely challenge him.
2-1 pitch. Fastball at 90 there from Man, missing outside. 3-1 to Weaver out of Grand Canyon University. Went to Mountain Point High School, alma mater of former Pirates shortstop Cole Tucker, as Weaver grounds this one down the third base line. Nice backhand play by Greer. Fire to first, and he beat him by a step and a half. Tremendous defense there from Ben Greer for a big second out.
That's key Brian Hayes S down there, the Pirates third baseman we're used to seeing make those plays all the time. This time it's Ben Greer back home in the infield for the rightful reasons. That was a very tough play. He had to throw foul line to foul line. One hopped it in there perfectly right to the glove of Hernandez. And you mentioned a step and a half. That was not an easy play to get him by that much.
Jorge Bajorquez standing in. First pitch. Fastball up and in on the Thunder second baseman, hitting 229. You mentioned Key Brian Hayes. Black Bears fans used to seeing him. He spent the inaugural season here with the Black Bears, which they went on to win the New York Penn League Championship. Wave and a miss there from Bajorquez on the fastball. Evens the count 1-1.
Bajorquez getting his first start of the series here at Sacramento State University.
1-1 pitch fouled into the netting above the Black Bears dugout. So Bohorquez with his back against the wall here, a ball and two strikes.
We saw this exact same situation pretty much in the first inning. This will be the ninth pitch here of the inning. On the eighth pitch of the inning last time in a 1-2 count, it was a ball, eventually led to 11 more pitches and a run.
Man from the windup, the 1-2. Looked to be an off-speed pitch well down and away there. Looping curveball from Ryan Mann.
Getting some deja vu here if this next pitch results in a single. Going to have to check ourselves up here.
Mann long pause, then delivers a 2-2, and Bohorquez lines this one in the air out the shallow center field. Tranquil able to bring it in on the flying WV logo, and the side is retired as the Thunder go 3-up, 3-down as we're through an inning and a half of play in this 7-inning contest here at Mont County Ballpark. Trenton 1, West Virginia 1. Bottom of the second, Kyle Hess, Ben Greer, Mauricio Milan, 6-7-8 in the Black Bears order coming to the plate here against Angel Cespedes in inning number 2 of work for the Thunder right-hander.
I can't stop thinking about how Jimmy Galuski sent Hernandez last inning. That was really the first mistake Galuski's made this year.
First pitch swinging is Hess, and he fouls that one down the first baseline for a long strike one.
Because if you hold Hernandez at third, it's second and third, one out. Merrick Schloop flew out to the warning track and left. Hernandez surely scores on that, no matter how fast or slow he is. So, we'll see.
Hess hitting 172 as a member of the Black Bears in his second stint with them. 0-1 pitch taken at the knees for strike two. Cespedes took a little bit off of his fastball, it looked like there.
We see it all the time, sacrificing velocity for location, and it usually works out for the pitcher.
Cespedes staring in to get the signs from Jeff Manto. Now coming set, the 0-2. Looping curveball in the outer half of the plate. Chopper to first, going to be a tough play, and Kyle Hess does not beat it by a step. The throw over to Cespedes covering the bag. Score that one 3-1 for out number one.
Yeah, ranging well off the base was the first baseman, Cassetti, and ooh, it was bang, bang. My live look here, I thought I agreed with the call, but ties usually go to runners, so even if there was instant replay, I don't think that one could have been overturned because it was literally instantaneous.
Would not have been enough evidence to overturn the call as Ben Greer stands in, 207 hitter, 90 mile per hour fastball taken up and away for ball one. Do have some activity currently in the West Virginia bullpen. 1-0 pitch there to Greer, missing the zone. 2 balls and no strikes.
Good hitters count here for Ben Greer. Looks like there is also activity in the Trenton bullpen, so a couple of bullpen games tonight, it looks like.
Cespedes coming set. Fastball up and away, 3-0 on Greer.
3-0, probably a green light coming again, as we know how aggressive they have liked to be this year, both with the top and bottom of the order.
Greer out of San Jacinto North. fouls that one straight back, so it's 3-1, and again, Greer with the green light.
No shock there. Same old for the Black Bears. Swing away 3-0.
Cespedes coming set. The 3-1. Greer waving and missing at another fastball. Count quickly full on the Black Bears third baseman.
Good work on the mound by Cespedes to come back and work himself into a two-strike count after being down 3-0.
Cespedes long stare in towards the plate. Payoff pitch to Greer, waves and misses at a fastball. Rather, just got a piece of it, actually, did Greer.
Did look like a swing and miss at first, but I saw the ball rolling around on the ground and nobody was running, so I figured it was a foul ball. Indeed it was.
So the count will stay full. Another 3-2 from Cespedes. That misses upstairs, so Ben Greer draws the one-out walk and brings Mauricio Milan to the plate.
Good at-bat there by Greer. Milan down to 212 on the year, but we know what he can do. He can put a charge into a ball and find a gap, and Greer can fly.
Mauricio Milan, 212 hitter for the Black Bears out of El Paso Community College.
Wouldn't be surprised if we saw some first pitch movement from Ben Greer over at first base, or early count movement for that.
With the speed he has, certainly something to pay an eye on as Milan fouls that one to the netting. It's Malcolm Gilchrist warming in the Trenton bullpen. Austin Becker loosening for West Virginia.
Becker's been very good this season.
Cespedes working from the stretch, keeping an eye on Greer. 0-1 to Milan, fastball up and in. Evens the count 1-1.
So we got one out right now. Milan's the 8 hitter. You have the ever-versatile Xavier Pinales, who is hitting 9th. He's basically like a second leadoff man. So if Milan can get on here, your order virtually turns over.
Absolutely. 1-1 to Milan. Change up that misses down and away, 2-1. Mauricio Milan committed to Wichita State for the fall semester. Moving up to Division I from the JUCO ranks.
Draft League is definitely going to help him with that adjustment for sure.
2-1 to Milan. That one's lined into right field. Ben Greer had to pause, make sure he didn't get hit with the baseball, but puts runners at first and second now with one out for Xavier Pinales.
Yeah, the second baseman, as we see for a lot of right-handed batters with runners on, is he's shaded pretty much at the second base bag in a semi-shift, so there was no question on whether or not that was going to get through. Slick move by Greer to move the body back out of the way so he wouldn't get hit, so he's not able to go first to third, as he had to make sure he wasn't going to get hit with the ball. He would have been out, of course.
And in a lot of pain.
Yes. So first and second, one down. Here comes the second leadoff man.
Pinales out of Gonzaga. First pitch to him. Fastball misses inside. Ball one.
Nothing new for Pinales. As we've mentioned every time, I feel like. Finding a home in the 9-hole. He's 1-for-3 with a walk and a run yesterday. His hit was a double. So he knows how to work the count.
Fouls the 1-0 pitch to the netting of the backstop. Evens the count 1-1.
It'd be no surprise to anybody here if we saw pitch 5, 6, maybe even 7 here in this at-bat.
Pinales can certainly work the count, and his 276 average speaks to that ability. Cespedes is coming set from the stretch. 1-1, and Pinales slaps it the opposite way, but foul, carrying into the concourse and now bouncing onto the road. So ball and two strikes to Xavier Pinales.
No cars coming down at that time. No property damage done. 1-2.
Cespedes dealing with runners on once again. The Black Bears looking to claim the lead. Game tied at 1 here in the bottom of the second. 1-2, wave and a miss there by Pinales on a changeup from Cespedes. Dropped it in on the outer half of the zone. That's Cespedes' first strikeout. And couldn't come at a bigger time with now the lineup turning over for Caden Trenkel.
Here's a nice pitch there by Cespedes. as he was able to just drop it in the zone and get Pinellas.
Caden Trankel standing up with runners in scoring position. Selected in the 28th round of the 2019 draft by the White Sox. First pitch fastball to him, misses down and away.
Trankel, one pitch fly out to deep center his first time, so taking a pitch.
Cespedes working here from the stretch as he has much of this inning. The 1-0 waved and missed by Trankel, or even 1-1.
Well, I said in the open that we're probably going to get some base runners for West Virginia. It's whether or not they can cash in. They had three base runners in the first, scored once, had one thrown out, and they got two base runners here in the second with two gone.
1-1 pitch, fastball taken for strike two.
Right at the top of the zone, good call.
Caden Trankel looking to stay alive now, running into a little bit of trouble here now, having to protect, hitting 714 with runners at first and second. 1-2 pitch to him, waves and misses at a curveball, dropped in the dirt. Manto will have to fire down to first base to complete the strikeout, which he does. So West Virginia leaves two runners on as we're through two innings of play. It's still Black Bears 1 and the Thunder 1.
Experiencing any symptoms or medical concerns? A WVU Medicine primary care provider is your first point of contact for improved well-being. WVU Medicine's primary care providers deliver top-quality care close to home for patients of all ages, from infants to seniors. They specialize in diagnosing, treating, and preventing a wide variety of conditions, and, if needed, can refer you to a WVU Medicine specialist for more advanced care. Visit wvumedicine.org/primarycare.
Pepperoni and cheese patty tonight's Julia's Pepperoni Roll Race winner, tying herself atop the standings with Double Stuffed Dave, each with six. And it's a new pitcher for the West Virginia Black Bears, Austin Becker, standing in here in relief of Ryan Mann after two innings of work. Becker, 6'5", 215 pounds, out of Texas Tech University.
Oh, and Becker has been really good this season. He's 3-0 with a 113 in five appearances. Over eight innings, he's allowed two runs, only one have been earned, and it was on a home run. Five hits, seven walks, five strikeouts, a 1.5 whip could get improved on, but I am fully expecting Austin Becker's name to be called at some point next week.
That was exactly my next point as well, that Becker would be one you would like to think take in over the course of 20 rounds in the draft. Certainly has the talent for it out of Texas Tech, playing in one of the baseball's finest conferences.
Only a redshirt sophomore as well.
Product of Sunbury, Ohio. Becker will be facing the top of the order. EJ Exposito, Michael Curiali, Andrew Cassetti.
Ryan Mann finished with 30 pitches and a pretty good outing for him. Did a good job at limiting the damage in the first, which is such a key thing here for the Black Bears at home. Limiting the damage has been really the theme of the last couple weeks here, because you limit the damage and then you can go to work offensively.
Absolutely. EJ Exposito mentioned, product of Long Island University, 2022 All Northeast Conference second team honoree this past spring. He's an NEC Player of the week of May 24th. First pitch from Becker, fastball at 90 miles per hour, taken for strike one.
Exposito knows how to handle the lumber at the plate and take care of business, so. Three unassisted ground at his first time. We'll see what he can do here.
0-1 pitch to Exposito. Another fastball, this time missing down and in as the count evens, a ball and a strike. EJ Exposito transferring to Long Island after spending a year at New York Tech.
Didn't even know that existed.
How you do?
Yeah.
1-1 pitch there to Exposito. Missed outside. Another fastball. 2-1 on the Thunder shortstop.
If you're scoreboard watching at home, Frederick leads Williamsport 3-1 in the third. Good news for Black Bears fans.
2-1 from Becker, grounded hard. Diving stop made by Greer. Gets up quickly, fires over to first, but Exposito able to beat it by a step. It'll go down as an infield hit, but again, another tremendous play with the glove from Ben Greer.
My goodness, full Superman extension by Greer over there. We saw him make one impressive play earlier and strong arm across the diamond and barely beating it out as Exposito. A heck of a play over there by Greer.
There's a slight bobble between the transfer from glove to throwing hand on Greer that could potentially have made the difference, but Exposito was sprinting down the line to his credit. I'll bring up Michael Curiali. First pitch, fastball just below the knees for ball one.
And this is definitely a guy here that you want to be careful with. He's hitting 333. And the number's down.
Certainly not something you hear very often as Becker throws over to first, keeping tabs on Exposito. And throws over one more time.
See, the Trenton helmets, they're just a typical matte black. Some of them have a logo, some of them do not. I would think they would be navy blue, but no.
Long pause from Becker as Exposito takes off. Milan fires down to second. That one sails into center field. It wasn't even close to the bag. Luckily, Caden Trinkle there to quickly field it as Exposito stays at second with a swipe bag.
Exposito showing off the speed, had a fantastic jump. There's really no reason for Milan to even throw that ball at that point, but it was not even close. 2-0.
So the double play, the traditional double play that is, out of order for the Black Bears defensively. Austin Becker continuing to work here in the third. Game tied at 1. 2-0, that one's chopped to short. Brothers quickly fielding it. Fire across the diamond for a big out number 1, and the runner Exposito has to stay put at second base.
Yeah, that works for Austin Becker and the Black Bears. Brothers able to field it cleanly. Look back, Exposito to the bag, throw it over and hold the runner.
So now Andrew Cassetti will step to the plate out of Eaglesville, Pennsylvania.
Singled and scored his first time.
Setti, the lone run for the Thunder. First pitch he sees from Becker, skied in the air, out the left. Hess going to have to come in as he calls off Brothers and makes the grab for a quick out number 2.
Battled the sun there a little bit. Not as bad as nights past, as we've seen balls get completely lost by left fielders out there. So a nice grab altogether, even though it looked a little bit routine.
Ryan McCarthy coming to the plate here. For Trenton, runner in scoring position, 2 outs. McCarthy looking to drive in the go-ahead run. Already a hit for him so far. Was 1 of 3 hits off of Ryan Mann in the first. First pitch he sees from Becker, waves and misses at a changeup that was down and away. Beautiful pitch there from Austin Becker.
And a nice pitch by Becker there, 0-1. Out in front of the four hitter, McCarthy, he singled his first time up as well.
McCarthy looking to at the very least work himself back into the count. Pinales on the outfield grass waves and misses at another off-speed pitch that he was well out in front of, and McCarthy now behind, no balls and two strikes.
Two nice pitches there by Becker, both off-speed. Failing and missing both times was McCarthy. I go right back to the well. Why fix it if it ain't broke?
Absolutely, is Becker awaiting the sign from Mauricio Milan, getting one that he likes. 0-2 to McCarthy, fastball at 91, misses up and away, 1-2.
That's your other option there. You either stick with that off-speed stuff down low that he was flailing at, or you change eye level, go high, and get him to swing through. He holds there. I go right back down low.
McCarthy hitting 154 in 1-2 counts. Certainly the numbers favoring Becker here. Delivers a pitch, and that one slapped the opposite way, just foul down the third baseline.
Little excuse me swing from McCarthy that turned out to be very close to getting down into the corner as a fair ball. Would have definitely been an RBI double at the very least, so a little bit fortunate there are Becker and the Black Bears.
I thought for a split second McCarthy was about to make me eat my words, but a little bit too much tail there on the ball slapped the opposite way, so the count will stay 1-2. Pitch comes home from Becker, gets away from Mauricio Milan. That will move Exposito up to third, and the count goes 2-2.
Yeah, it looks like either a cross-up or just a straight-up wild pitch. I'm pretty sure that's going to go as a wild pitch, as it was low, and Milan tried to trap it but could not. Hopefully it won't matter, though, with two outs. Be a lot different if there was only one out in this inning, as a fly ball could score him.
Becker awaiting the sign from Milan, working from the left side of the rubber. The 2-2, skied in the air, out to center field. Tranquil on his horse, onto the warning track. That one ricochets off the top of the wall. That'll go down as an RBI double for Ryan McCarthy, and the Thunder have the lead once again.
Yeah, that ball was cracked out there to left center. At first I thought it was going to be routine fly ball, and then I saw Tranquil turn and get on his horse, and it almost sailed out of here. Just kept carrying and carrying and carrying, hit that yellow stripe above the lefties play sign. It's an RBI double, and Trenton leads it 2-1.
Becker first pitch swinging there to McNeely, who skies in the air out to right center this time. Caden Tranquil able to make the grab, so a nice little response there for Austin Becker after conceding the run. We're through 2.5 innings of play here at the Mon. It's Trenton 2, West Virginia 1. Bottom of the third, Angel Cespedes toeing the rubber at the very least for the start of the inning as Jeff Manto skies one on the throwdown well out to center field.
Yeah, don't see that often. Thing was like a single. When you say you couldn't have thrown it any better, that's what you mean.
Leading off the third inning for the Black Bears.
Be Blaze Brothers leading off, followed by Ryan Hernandez and Hunter May.
Well, we're officially into the middle innings of this seven-inning contest, so that's when the Black Bears bats usually seem to wake up. They already have one on the board here, 2-3-4 up. Let's see if they can make some more noise against Cespedes.
Of course, it was these three that got things going for West Virginia in the first. First pitch, fastball, rather a changeup taken for strike one there from Cespedes. Gilchrist continues to loosen in the Trenton bullpen. Middle infield back for the Thunder. Brothers fouls the 0-1 fastball backwards, so quickly behind, no balls and two strikes.
Brothers walked, stole second, advanced on a wild pitch, and scored on the Hunter May double in the first inning. Got to protect now, though.
Brothers looking for his first hit of the game. Would be a second time he reached base safely. 0-2 from Cespedes, check swing, able to hold up just in time there on another changeup.
Good hold there by Brothers for sure. Definitely didn't go and lives to see another pitch.
Cespedes comes set, working from the right side. The 1-2, Brothers will chop it foul into the netting above the Thunder dugout, so count stays right where it is.
Good job to stay alive by Blaze. We know he's a professional type hitter. That's what professional hitters do. They battle until they can get something they can hit.
Brothers still standing in, ball and two strikes. 571 on base percentage when leading off. One, two from Cespedes, and Brothers fouls that one back into the concourse.
Catch it, Emma. What are you doing down there? Don't run away from it.
Sometimes those balls sneak up on you, and that's exactly what happened there. Still a ball and two strikes to Brothers. Black Bears looking to tie the game at least once again as 91 mile per hour fastball misses up and in, so the count evens 2-2. Cespedes continuing to work through the signs. 2-2, called strike three, and Brothers completely disagrees.
So do I. That ball was off the plate on the line of the other batter's box. That is definitely not a strike. Not a good call back there by Justin Murphy.
Blaze Brothers had a few choice words for Justin Murphy in the process of heading back to the dugout.
Yeah, do not blame him.
Ryan Hernandez standing in with nobody on, one out. Cespedes delivering the first pitch there to Hernandez. Change up, the misses up and away. Ball and no strikes.
Yeah, good start to the at-bat here for Hernandez, who worked a full count walk his first time. He was then erased trying to score after Jimmy Galuski was being uber aggressive over there at third.
1-0 to Hernandez. Fastball misses up and in. Hernandez thought about it but able to hold up. So two balls and no strikes goes the count.
Good hitters count for a good hitter right here. See if he can get something to drive. And Mahoning, he homered down the right field line. Oppo Taco.
Two home runs in three games in that series as the fastball there to Hernandez misses downstairs. 3-0 to Hernandez.
Green light. You know it's coming.
Absolutely. Surprisingly, Hernandez did not swing. The pitch was well out of the zone, so that certainly could play a factor in it. So Ryan Hernandez draws the four-pitch walk.
I think you answered your own question, Drew. That ball is in the other batter's box. That is why he didn't swing. Either way, he's on first base with one out. Hunter May with another extra base hit his last time.
Hernandez on for him once again. We thought May was going to crack a second home run in as many nights last time up, but had it deflect off of the wall out there in left center field. Same wall that he hit the ball over last night, as a matter of fact. The first pitch off speed that gets away from Jeff Manto, and Ryan Hernandez can pretty much walk to second base.
He'll probably go down as a wild pitch there. Now we get a base hit, probably can score Hernandez here. Something in the gap will definitely tie the game. Good situation here with May and Schloop up.
Hunter May looking to deliver here for West Virginia's third hit of the game. 1-0, and that one skied in the air down the line and left as McCarthy chases after it, runs out of room as it carries into the concourse.
That was a high, high fly ball out there to left field. I don't think it had homer distance. Probably would have been on the warning track if it was in play, but luckily for all sides, honestly, that got out of play.
So the count will even a ball and a strike now on Hunter May, Black Bears DH tonight. Business management major at Alabama State. 1-1 to May. Changeup taken inside for strike two.
As we had a guy walking down for the baseball that was just hit out of play, and two girls came running after it, so he started running. The crowd reacts. The guy got to the ball first, but gave the ball to the little girl over there, as he should.
1-2 to May. That one misses down on the way. Another changeup. Count evens 2-2. I have to imagine that he knows that little girl, possibly his daughter, and was just trying to beat her to the ball. Cespedes long stare in towards the plate, awaiting the sign, working from the stretch, and now going to step off and allow Hunter May to quickly step out of the box.
I'll go over the signs once again here. Big hit here needed from Hunter May. Wide open right side for the most part. If he hits it hard enough, he can definitely get it through.
A large gap in right center as well. 2-2. May waves and misses at an off-speed pitch that was well outside, and two gone quickly here for West Virginia.
Definitely going to want that back for sure. Half-hearted attempt, try to check it, but to no avail on the nice off-speed pitch into the other batter's box. So Merrick Schloop will need to come through with a base hit here.
Merrick Schloop out of the Czech Republic, North Greenville University product, a Division II national champion. Named as the best hitter in Conference Carolinas this past season. Going to be the first person from the Czech Republic to get drafted in Major League Baseball. First pitch to him is chopped foul into the netting above the Thunder dugout.
I'm sure we're honored here at West Virginia to have him coming through if he does indeed get drafted, play a part in his journey in Major League history.
Schloop fighting with Hernandez down at second. Black Bears trailing 2-1 here in the bottom of the third. Pitch to Schloop is popped up in the air, carrying out into shallow right field. Bohorquez going to make the grab just shy of the infield for the final out. So the Black Bears strand the one-out walk that Hernandez reached on and moved up to second on the wild pitch. As we're through three innings of play here in this one. It's Trenton 2, West Virginia 1.
Surgical therapies tailored to your needs. Our board-certified, fellowship-trained oncologists
Austin Becker back out on the mound for inning number two of work in relief of Ryan Mann here in the top of the fourth, and he'll lead off against Jeff Manto, the Trenton catcher tonight. 6, 7, and 8 coming to the plate here against Becker, followed by Ballestero and Weaver is Manto. First pitch to him, change up the misses below the knees, a ball and no strikes.
Becker only threw 14 pitches last inning, did allow the run though. No surprise to see him out here for the second.
Coming set at the belt, 1-0. Fastball that time missing just downstairs, so quickly 2-0 on the Thunder catcher. Jeff Manto, a big fan of the Philadelphia Phillies, lists Bryce Harper as his favorite player. 2-0 to Manto, another fastball missing down and away, so quickly 3-0. Rather unusual here for Austin Becker.
That's for sure.
3-0 from the Black Bears right-hander, taking all the way as Manto on a fastball up and in for strike one. Becker, long pause on the rubber. 3-1 to Manto, and he skies that one in the air over the rafters here at Mon County Ballpark, so the count will run full.
Becker, good job to get back in this count after it started at 3 balls and no strikes.
Any pitcher will certainly take going from 3-0 to 3-2. Payoff pitch to Manto, runs inside and caught a piece of Manto, is going to be ball four regardless.
Score that as a hit by pitch.
Now Tate Ballestero will come to the plate. Ballestero spent last season at Virginia in the ACC, helping the Cavaliers make the College World Series. First pitch he sees from Becker, waves and misses at a changeup outside.
Came unhinged on that one. Not a good swing.
Manto getting his lead off of first. Certainly not the steel-aggressive type of player, as the pitch there from Becker again missing outside, so the count even 1-1.
Don't usually see Becker lose control like this, so see if he can rein it back in. Maybe roll a double play ball here.
1-1 to Ballestero. Fastball misses down and in. 2-1.
If he loses this guy here, I wouldn't be surprised if we see JT Thomas making a trip to the mound. I know I would.
You see all the coaches in the dugout next to each other. Possibly a conversation that they might be having at this point. 2-1 from Becker, fouled back to the backstop, so count level 2-2. Tate Ballestero was the number one catching prospect in the state of New Jersey in his graduating class, according to Perfect Game.
Actually played against one of my roommates from school.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Same town, Morristown, New Jersey.
Learn something new every day as the 2-2 pitch misses outside. Another changeup from Becker, so a second full count in the inning here. This time, Tate Ballestero.
I sent him a text last night and said, hey, do you know this guy? He goes, I think so. I think I played against him.
Payoff pitch, waves and misses there as Becker blew the fastball by him. Big first out there for the Black Bears reliever.
Climbing the ladder is Austin Becker there. Just what the doctor ordered in a strikeout. Little thank you very much to Tate Ballestero for swinging at that. So instead of first and second and nobody out, runner remains at first with one out.
Johnny Weaver now coming to the plate. Weaver grounded out last time up. First pitch to Weaver. Fastball, rather. Change up inside, taken for strike one.
Good job getting ahead of the eight hitter here. Last night, the Trenton bottom third was not good, to say the least.
Combined 0 for 9, I believe, as Becker throws over to first, keeping tabs on Manto.
So I believe they ended at 2. They're 0 for 4 right now.
0-1 pitch. Fastball that time from Becker. Misses upstairs. Large gap on the right side of the infield with Pinale shaded towards the second base bag. Double play depth is the Black Bears infield. 1-1 to Weaver. Grounded hard to third. Greer up with it. Flip to second for one. Relay throw
oh, yeah.
over to first.
Oh, yeah.
The Black Bears turn two to get out of the inning. 5-4-3. They go around the horn as Austin Becker ends up facing the minimum in the top half of the fourth. Halfway home here in this one, it's Trenton 2, West Virginia 1, right here on the Black Bears Radio Network. Bottom of the fourth here from Mon County Ballpark. New pitcher for the Trenton Thunder. It's Malcolm Gilchrist in relief of Angel Cespedes, who went three innings for the visitors. As for Gilchrist, standing in 6'4", 205 pounds out of Little Ferry, New Jersey, the product of Bergen Community College, looking to keep the Thunder out in front here in game two of the three-game set.
Gilchrist standing at 6'4", 205 here. Will come on, the big left-hander, as you mentioned before, Drew. Let's see if these stats on my computer load, I can get them to you.
Final line on Cespedes while we wait for that. Three innings pitched, two hits conceded, one run was earned. Walked four, struck out four.
All right, I got him. He's 0-3 with a 10.66 ERA. He's appeared in 10 games starting two. He's only gone 12 2/3 innings where he's allowed 13 hits, 18 runs, 15 of them earned. He's walked 20 and struck out 10. He's also allowed 4 home runs, so Black Bears offense definitely going to be looking to jump all over this guy.
I think I speak for all Trenton Thunder fans listening, but yikes.
Yeah, was not expecting that.
Malcolm Gilchrist will be facing off here against Kyle Hess, Ben Greer, and Mauricio Milan. Greer will get the opportunity to turn around one of two switch hitters on the Black Bears roster and in the lineup.
Cespedes lived up to his billing of walks and strikeouts, 4-4, keeping that 1-to-1 ratio.
First pitch to Kyle Hess, fastball taken outside for strike one. Mentioned that Kyle Hess was out of the University of Pittsburgh. Native of Mount Joy, Pennsylvania. His cousin Chris Heisey spent some time with the Cincinnati Reds. 0-1 to Hess. Another fastball this time at 93 that misses down and away.
You got to imagine Austin Becker's night's probably done as well. There's an arm loosening down there. We'll work on that for you.
Lefty-on-lefty matchup here between Gilchrist and Hess. 1-1 as Gilchrist slips and falls on the mound, pitch below the zone.
Ooh, a little grimace, and he's favoring that right knee, but I think he's okay. He's going to take a step off, walk off the back of the mound there. Ooh, it looks like he turned his ankle there. I think he's okay.
Certainly painful there for Malcolm Gilchrist.
I've done that before. Not the best feeling in the world, that's for sure.
2-1 pitch to Hess. Fastball again taken outside for strike two.
Just laid that one in there. It's a nice comeback pitch for the lefty after slipping that last time.
I believe it is Will Schomburg loosening in the Black Bears bullpen.
Schomburg's been very good this year as well.
Hess waves and misses at a 2-2 pitch in the dirt. Manto bobbles it, has to fire over to first, and the throw pulls the first baseman Cassetti off the bag. So Hess will reach on a 2-3 strikeout with a wild pitch in the process. And so now the Black Bears get that leadoff base runner.
Very odd, because Hess was not running at all out of the box, kind of jogging. The catcher, Manto, had a hard time picking it up and then had to hurry himself and threw it wide of the bag. Still would have got the jogging Hess, but it's a strikeout and he'll reach. E2, I'd assume.
First pitch to Greer, in and out of the glove of Manto. That one has to be a pass ball as Hess moves up to second with ease.
So the runner never should have been on to begin with, and now coach's son behind the plate, Jeff Manto, not having the best inning here.
Guess that's part of what happens when you put somebody behind the plate who's not his first position.
Yeah, very odd. Four catchers on the roster, none of them catching today.
1-0 pitch to Greer, and now squares the bunt, unable to pull it back, so it's a 1-1 count.
And not sure why he didn't pull it back there. Obviously was not going to commit fully. You have to commit fully to get the good bunt down.
See what Greer does here on 1-1. Possible small ball working by Jed Jerko. Greer swinging away, and he fouls this one straight back into the sweet level and then dropping down into section 107. 1-2.
Some little league kids going to get that, or pony league kids. We haven't had a team here in a while.
A few of them making their way out to the ballpark, donning their jerseys. Ben Greer looking to reach as well after Hess, and the 1-2 fastball misses outside, so count evens 2-2.
It's a good hold right there by Greer. As Frederick leads at 5-1 now. If the Black Bears can take care of business, the magic number to clinch the first half will be 3.
Absolutely would gain a game of separation on Williamsport, making Kyle Hess all that much more important at second. 2-2 to Greer. Comebacker up the middle for a base hit. Hess had to hesitate, thinking that Exposito may have gotten there. Jimmy Galuski immediately putting up the stop sign, so runners at the corners with nobody out now from Mauricio Milan.
I have no idea why Hess hesitated there, because if that ball is fielded cleanly by Exposito, he's dead to rights either way. He should have been taken off right there, because where that ball was up the middle, Esposito and the ball would have been between Hess and the bag. You're dead man. So either way, it's still first and third.
The only thing maybe that Hess thought was if Exposito did field the ball, he would have had a chance to get back, but
I cannot see it. It would have been a real tight play, and I don't think it would have worked out in his favor, but all works out for the Black Bears. It gets down, and the runner moves up.
First pitch to Mauricio Milan. Fastball at 93, taken outside for strike one.
That ball looked like it was outside.
A little bit of a wide strike zone tonight from Justin Murphy.
We've seen that call once or twice. Saw one to Brothers that he got rung up on for a strike three looking that he didn't agree with.
As the 0-1 pitch, another fastball down and away, evens the count at 1-1. Trenton infielders drawn back at double play depth, so they would trade a run for two outs here in the fourth.
Absolutely. O'Neill Cruz looks like he just tripled in a run for the Pirates to take a 2-1 lead.
Love to see it. 1-1 from Gilchrist, looping off speed, misses up and away, so 2-1 now to Mauricio Milan.
Hit that ball off the game day map.
O'Neill Cruz doing O'Neill Cruz things.
Absolutely.
Mauricio Milan looking for a chance to tie the game here at 2 apiece with runners at the corners in the bottom of the fourth. Pitch gets away. It's going to ricochet to the backstop. Manto flips it to home, and Kyle Hess slides in safely. And in the process, Ben Greer going to go first to third as they advance to second on the wild pitch, and then the play at the plate allowed him to take an extra 90 feet. We're tied at 2 here in the fourth.
Hess not the fastest runner. He's had some questionable base running decisions. Breaks for the plate as we get a look here on the replay. Manto comes Rockstar sliding into the plate. The throw is just late. Hess gets there. And then while Manto is, the pitcher Gilchrist is holding the ball up to show the umpire. Heads up base running by Ben Greer to go first to third. Impressive stuff right there.
And after that pandemonium, now Sean Chacon making his way out to the mound to talk things over with the battery mate of Gilchrist and Manto.
See if I can talk for this one. Couldn't get Gilchrist out. And it looks like, what's going on here?
We brought out Justin Murphy, the home plate umpire.
Trainer.
Now Trainer coming out. Possible injury there for Gilchrist in the play at the plate. Go back to the out-of-town scoreboard as Williamsport tacked on 2, so they cut their deficit down. Still trailing 5-3 at home against Frederick in the bottom of the fourth inning. No score between Mahoning Valley and State College. That game already in the top of the sixth inning as they are cruising along there in State College. Just 5 hits combined between the two teams.
Gilchrist threw a couple of pitches to make sure he could go. He's good. They're going to charge a mound visit, I believe, which, although they don't keep track of those here in the MLB Draft League, it's still important because next time a coach would come out would mean a pitching change. And the infield's going to come in with nobody out and the runner on third, 3-1.
Mauricio Milan still standing in. Pitch misses outside. Ball 4, 5 pitch walk there for Mauricio Milan. And now Xavier Pinales will come to the plate.
Potential for a crooked number here with 9-1-2 coming up and nobody out. We got the middle infield going to be at double play depth. The third baseman Weaver is going to be playing behind the base at third. First baseman Cassetti obviously holding the runner on. I don't think it's out of the question that Pinales drops down to bunt. Good speed everywhere, too.
Would not surprise me one bit as Gilchrist steps off and just allows himself to go through the signs once again.
Good speed of Greer at third. Good speed at the plate with Pinales. I would drop one down right here.
Wave and miss there by Pinales as Milan takes off for second. Throw into center field. That's going to allow Ben Greer to score. And it is a Jeff Manto collapse here in the field, and the Black Bears will say thank you very much. They lead 3-2.
What did I just watch?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
So Milan took off for second base, a clear little league steal home play that we've seen the Black Bears run a million times. So Milan is trying to get himself out or into a rundown. The throw goes into center field for some reason. I don't know why Manto threw it and the run scores. That is just awful. Bad inning for Manto behind the plate.
0-1 pitch to Pinales, off speed, misses down and away. So the count evens 1-1.
I cannot wrap my head. Why would you throw that ball?
Especially knowing that the go-ahead run was at third base, you would have to imagine that you would just let him go on defensive indifference. As that one goes in and out of the glove of Manto, another pass ball, and Mauricio Milan going to advance to third base, 2-1 on Pinales.
Wow. You have 4 catchers on your roster. Tate Ballestero is DHing today. He played left yesterday, and Andrew Cassetti is playing first base today. Your other two are sitting on the bench. You have an infielder playing catcher.
Well, Well, John Christino caught last night. Wouldn't imagine he catches on back-to-back nights. 2-1, fastball well up and away. That time Manto got the glove to it. Three balls and a strike.
Still, you have Gus Sosa. You could move Cassetti to behind the plate. You could put Ballestero behind the plate. You could DH Christina. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
3-1, Pinales chops foul back towards the dugout steps, and Jeff Manto, older Jeff Manto, that is, manager of the Thunder, going to come out and claim that baseball.
And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of things throughout my broadcast career that it's going to leave me speechless. This is the first. Just taken aback.
Things you don't see every day, for sure. Payoff pitch to Pinales. Comebacker up the middle. Base hit. That one's going to carry into center field. And Mauricio Milan can walk home. And just like that, 4-2 West Virginia.
Hit it right where it was pitched from. That's how you do it. Pinales, RBI single. Hit that ball hard. Lucky to get out of the way was Gilchrist.
Lineup will turn over here. Caden Trankel.
Gilchrist. I'm going to get it one day. I'm all weirded out right now by this game.
Lefty-lefty matchup here between Gilchrist and Trankel. Pinales takes off. Pitch outside. Manto fires down. The throw not in time as EJ Exposito thought the Pinales was dead meat. But instead, Pinales sneaks in for a stolen bag.
It's like Frederick just running all over this catcher. Let's see the replay. Trankel definitely got in. Throw was late.
Ball and no strikes here to Trankel. Activity currently in both bullpens. It's still Schomburg for West Virginia. Pitch there, 1-0. Fastball misses down and away, so 2-0 on the Black Bear center fielder.
We're seeing why Malcolm Gilchrist's ERA is 10.66. About three runs already here in this inning.
Tyler Jeans loosening in the Trenton bullpen as the 2-0 off speed misses down and in.
Did we see Jeans with Frederick or another team this season?
We have not, no. Unless by some chance he potentially...
I feel like we've seen somebody with the last name Jeans.
Be sure to keep you updated on that. Potentially can look into it as the 3-0 fastball there misses down and in. A four-pitch walk for Caden Trankel who put runners at first and second. And now Jeff Manto out of the dugout, so the day is going to be done for Gilchrist.
Yeah, it's not a good outing for Gilchrist, as you can imagine. Three already, responsible for two. Not all those runs are going to be earned, though, I don't think. Right now, he's given up two runs. Excuse me, he's given up three runs at this point. When he's given up two, the first two were unearned. You got to imagine this one might be unearned, too. So we will see, but we'll have a new arm.
It would just be a matter of getting Gilchrist out there so that you have a new arm and a fresh look for West Virginia as Gilchrist really struggled to find the zone.
Doesn't even record an out. He did get a strikeout, but Hess reached.
Absolutely reaching on the error from Jeff Manto, so we know that run for sure is unearned. Greer scoring on the E2 whenever the ball was sailed into center field. Rather, that was Mauricio Milan. It was a wild pitch that allowed Greer to score, so potentially might be one earned run against Gilchrist.
We still got the two on the pond as well.
Absolutely. So, day not done yet for the Thunder Southpaw. Tyler Jean standing in, 6'4", 220 pounds out of Texarkana, Arkansas. Product of Arkansas State.
Jeans on the season. See if we can find him on here. Tyler Jeans has made four appearances. He's only tossed six innings. 1-0 with a 1.50 ERA. He's allowed three hits, one earned run, walked one, struck out three. The whip of 0.67.
To your point earlier, Mike, found an article here from Our Sports Central. You're mentioning the thought of seeing Tyler Jeans once before was in fact with State College when the Spikes defeated the Black Bears here at the Mon 2-0.
I knew the name was familiar because I remember saying Jeans. That's a unique last name.
That was one of three games that I was not here for, hence my unfamiliarity.
That was Manny and I.
Yes.
That would make a lot of sense. Of course, you will be here for the last three games of the first half with Manny. I get the series off.
You're still going to be at the ballpark, though, right?
Maybe. We'll see. If we got a clinching scenario, I'm going to probably try and make my way down. Maybe I'll hang up here in a booth with you guys. We'll see.
Blaze Brothers will step to the plate now. Runners at first and second. It's Pinales down at second. Tranquil at first. Still no outs here in the bottom of the fourth, in which the Thunder have completely fell apart.
Yeah. That's an understatement.
Tyler Jeans ready on ready matchup. First pitch. Off speed taken for strike one by Brothers.
Still 5-3 Frederick. They've entered the top of the fifth. Mahoning and State College tied at zero in the sixth. Quick moving game.
Very quick, as those two teams have yet to score a run. At one point had just five hits combined between the two. 0-1 pitch. Check swing there from Brothers, but held up in time on the fastball, so the count evens 1-1.
Keep talking about the magic number. It's five right now as the Black Bears control their own destiny with the tiebreaker. A win obviously decreases the number by one, and every Williamsport loss will do the same. So a chance to cut it to three right now as Williamsport trails. And we lead.
1-1 from Jeans. Off speed misses up and away, so the count goes to 2-1 on the Black Bears shortstop.
See if Brothers can do some damage here. Good hitters count for a good hitter.
Jeans coming set from the stretch. The 2-1. Brothers dribbles that one to first, and it's bobbled by Cassetti. That'll load the bases as defense malfunctions continue for the Thunder.
Wow. Oh, just right off his glove. Ricochets to the second baseman, Bajorquez, then fires it to the covering, pitcher Jeans, and Cassetti looks shocked that he even threw the ball, almost hit him in the head. It's just, I don't even know how to describe this inning. Complete collapse, maybe?
Well, for the Black Bears, I would describe it as a dream come true. For the Trenton Thunder, a nightmare that never ends.
Yeah, you got to think that's definitely going to be scored as an E3.
If it goes down as anything else, I would be quite surprised, honestly. Tyler Jeans working here with the bases loaded. First pitch there to Ryan Hernandez. Down and in for ball one on the fastball. Of course, Tranquil and Pinales are the responsibility of Malcolm Gilchrist. Brothers, the only one that would be charged to Jeans if all three managed to cross the plate.
Ryan Hernandez could put this game away with one swing. Personally, I'd like to see him do that.
Would have to agree with you. 1-0 pitch. Another fastball misses down and in. 2-0. Of course, we've only had one grand slam here in draft league history. It was last season when Grant Hussey took one the opposite way out to left field. Had some here at the Mon when Black Bears were part of the New York Penn League, but just the one so far in the MLB draft league. Would love to see that one flip to a two.
Definitely a guy that can do it.
2-0 to Hernandez. Off speed. Missing the top of the zone there. So 3-0. And there's nowhere for Jeans to put Hernandez.
Green light. That's all I got to say at this point. I'm looking for Hernandez to come absolutely unglued on this pitch. Try and hit the scoreboard.
I mean, you got to make Jeans throw you a strike. 3-0 to Hernandez. And Jeans does exactly that. Ramping it up to 95.
Stuck that in there right at the knees. Nice pitch. Not much Hernandez could do with that one. I'm going to predict a walk here, but still love to see it unloading.
Of course, Hernandez, not one that many pitchers want to face as he lines this one in the air out to shallow right field. That one's going to drop in for a base hit as Curiali fires towards the plate. It's not in time with the runner Pinales having to hold. It goes down as an RBI single there for Ryan Hernandez, and West Virginia attacks on one more. It's 5-2.
We'll move station to station as they weren't sure if Corrali was going to be able to get the ball. I don't know. He really let up at the end.
Probably realized that it was going to drop in and didn't want to over pursue it and then have it get behind him.
Also, that throw home was probably not the smartest decision. I think he had brothers dead to right second for the force out, but instead he guns it home, unable to get the runner.
Infield will be drawn in here against Hunter May.
It's another guy that can jump the yard. We've seen it happen before. Already has a double today.
Bases loaded. Still nobody out. First pitch waved at and missed. Fastball there from Jeans that May couldn't get a piece of.
So what I love about Hunter May is he gets his money's worth at the plate with his hacks. The only downside is that comes with a decent amount of strikeouts, but I'll trade a strikeout or two a game for a couple extra base hits.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more there. 0-1 pitch. May taking all the way. Slider in there for strike two.
It's a nice pitch, and the throwback from Manto almost going over the head of Jeans. Good backup there by Bajorquez, but thank goodness for the thunder that it wasn't needed.
Again, another potential throwing error there from Jeff Manto. 0-2 to May, and it's called strike three on the outer half of the plate. Change up that time, froze May, and finally one gone here in the bottom of the fourth.
Yeah, finally records the first out there. It was a nice three-pitch sequence there by Jeans. Getting Hunter May to go down looking. Now Chloop comes up with the bases loaded. Damage on the mind. Even a single might put this game out of reach. You know Brothers is going to score.
Absolutely. Trenkel at third, Brothers at second, Hernandez at first here for Merrick Chloop against Tyler Jeans. First pitch swinging is Chloop. Fouls the fastball back to the netting. Strike one. Of course, the Black Bears will bat around unless the inning ends with a double play.
Ninth batter here of the inning. Kyle Hess started it with the strikeout, but reached first. The Thunder have had to get five or six outs so far this inning. Fielding has not helped them.
0-1 to Chloop. Holds up in time on the pitch down and away. So the count evens 1-1. State College is taking the lead in the bottom of the sixth against Mahoning Valley.
Mahoning now on the brink of elimination officially. Loser of that game's out.
1-1 to Chloop. Runs inside, in and out of the glove of Manto. He can't find it. Trenkel will say thank you very much. He comes across the score as the other two runners move up 90 feet at 6-2 West Virginia.
You got to think that's going to be another pass ball, and the catcher that's not really a catcher. Everybody moves up. Another run is in.
Would certainly have to agree with you there as it draws the Trenton infield in.
Once again.
Still 2-1 here. Chloop. Hitter friendly count. Dribbles that one just foul down the first baseline. Tried to sneak it past Cassetti, who was playing well off the bag.
There's a little check swing there. See what Chloop can do 2-2.
Chloop looking to keep the party going here. Fouls that one to the netting of the backstop, so count will stay right where it is.
We are waiting for the book to officially close on Gilchrist. As it technically is officially closed, we're waiting for the stats to update, I should say. Changing some runs around. Right now it's 4 runs, 3 earned. A fifth has crossed the plate. You got to imagine that's going to be unearned, though, with the wild pitch. Or pass ball.
2-2 to Chloop. Fouls it off. Another fastball. Would certainly agree with that decision. And this pass ball is continuing to haunt the Trenton pitching staff.
That's for sure. Really bad inning by Jeff Manto behind the plate. Chloop is battling here. Frederick has extended their lead to 6-3 in the fifth over in Williamsport.
2-2 to Chloop. squirts through the legs there of Manto, and breaking for the plate there is Blaze Brothers. He sneaks in at 7-2 West Virginia, and Ryan Hernandez advances to third.
I think that one might go down as a wild pitch.
I mean, spare Jeff Manto here in this one at the very least.
Let's see the replay here. Oh, yeah, that's spiked. I think you still have to block that, but it's spiked, so it's not the catcher's fault ultimately. It's going to go down as a wild pitch, and sloppy play continues. It's three errors in the inning for Trenton, but they definitely could have more. Hard to keep up. 3-2 now.
Full count here to Chloop. Only one runner on for him at this point as he chops it foul back towards the steps of the Trenton dugout.
Meltdown continuing here. It's the ninth pitch coming here to Chloop.
Payoff pitch from Jeans and blows a fastball by Chloop there for the second out as Kyle Hess will come to the plate for the second time this inning.
The fielder, Kyle Hess. Hess's second at bat of the inning coming up here. He struck out to start the inning and scored. He reached because of the wild pitch. Or pass ball, or I don't even know what to call it. E2.
Hess sends that one straight over our heads here in the broadcast booth for a long strike one.
So the book closed on Gilchrist.
Still waiting for updates there on the final number of earned runs versus unearned. 0-1 pitch from Jeans is chopped foul to the netting of the backstop, so Hess now behind. No balls and two strikes.
The official scoring has Gilchrist's last run charged to Jeans.
I believe Trinkle was the last one that Gilchrist conceded, so that would make sense as Hess fouls that pitch off to the backstop.
Well, I'm pretty sure he walked Trinkle, so that's his run. So that would be five that need to go to Gilchrist. They have 4-1 right now.
Brothers also came around to score, too. That's the run that was charged to Jeans.
Yeah, so they're missing a run for Gilchrist. They're missing a run total.
Oh, yes. 0-2 pitch misses down and away there to Hess. For a split second, forgot that it was 7-2. There's been so much going on here in this inning.
And I don't blame them at all over there because I am having a hard time keeping track of this myself. So many errors and sloppy defensive plays here. Pitching change mid-inning.
1-2 pitch there to Hess. Boils it. Keeps the count right where it is. Trenton Thunder have had three errors so far in this game. And it's still a smaller number than the amount of pass balls that Jeff Manto has had with four.
Making my head hurt.
1-2 to Hess, waves and misses.
Strikes out the side, does Jeans.
Absolutely. Tyler Jeans coming on there in relief of Malcolm Gilchrist as the Thunder finally awake from their never-ending nightmares. We're through four innings of play. It's West Virginia 7, Trenton 2.
Joint replacement is one of the most successful surgeries ever done, as long as it's done right. Think about it like the alignment on your car. If your alignment is off, your tires wear out faster. Robotic-assisted joint replacement surgery at WVU Medicine ensures that the implants are in the exact spot they should be. If you have a joint problem in West Virginia, there's no reason to go anywhere else but WVU Medicine. For more information, visit wvumedicine.org/joint.
Thank you. top of the fifth coming your way here from Warren County Ballpark as Will Schomburg finally gets to take the mound. Felt like he was warming up for a century and a half out there in the right field bullpen. Now getting the opportunity to face off here against 9-1-2 in the Trenton lineup. And he'll do so as he has an ERA of 0 to this point through 8 appearances in the MLB Draft League.
Schomburg is another name that we could expect to hear called this week in the MLB Draft. He's pitched 8 different times this season, 9 total innings. Has not allowed an earned run. Has allowed 3, but none have been earned. 5 hits only. 4 walks to 12 strikeouts. A whip of 1 even. That's very, very good numbers.
Absolutely.
Facing 9-1-2.
Jorge Bohorquez leading off, followed by Ije Exposito and Michael Curiale.
Leading off the fifth inning for Trenton.
As the Trenton Thunder defense has apparently broken our official scorer. Seventh run still not up to date.
I'm counting pitches right now, and it's making my head hurt from last inning. 26 were thrown by Gilchrist. And he pitched decently well. Struck out the side.
Yeah.
Had to throw 27 pitches. Black Bears made him work. We'll shift our focus to Schomburg here and the bottom of the lineup.
Bohorquez flew out to Trenkel in center first time up. First pitch there from Schomburg. Change up the misses upstairs.
So last night for the bottom three of the Thunder order, it was 0 for 9 with a run scored.
Bohorquez fouls the 0-1 fastball back towards section 107. So count evens 1-1.
If Bohorquez makes an out here, they'll be 0 for 6 on the day. They're 0 for 5 at the moment. Trenton with 5 hits and 2 runs on 3 errors.
1-1 breaking ball misses inside. Bohorquez has to jump out of the way of it, so count runs 2-1.
And I'm sure that Jeff Manto, older Jeff Manto manager, is using that bullpen more than he'd like today.
Absolutely. 2-1 fastball catches the outer half of the plate, so count runs 2-2. Will Schomburg out of Davidson University. Coming set and delivers. And Bohorquez takes that one the opposite way, dropping in towards shallow left, rather right field. And Xavier Pinales with the sliding grab out there by the line brings it in for out number one. And we see Will Schomburg right away pointing the finger, attributing the great defense there of Pinales.
Oh my goodness, what a catch. He was in medium to deep right field by the line. Chaloup was playing well off the line. Pinales showing the blazing speed, tracking it all the way, and a nice basket catch sliding to get that one. That's impressive fielding right there by the Gonzaga product. He does it all.
Absolutely. Xavier Pinales, known for his slick defense, and shows it off right there. Lineup turns over. EJ Exposito coming to the plate for the third time as Schomburg drops in a curveball letter height for strike one.
Mentioned before, Schomburg perfect on the earned runs this year.
He blows the curveball again by Exposito for strike two. A little bit of a late swing from Exposito as the ball was almost in the glove of Mauricio Milan.
We have a catcher running around the warning track out of the Trenton bullpen. I feel like we're in bizarro world right now, Drew.
Might have a defensive change here as Exposito lines this one in the air high out to left center field. Hess going to bring that one in for out number two.
It's a good point. I didn't think of that. Could have a defensive change. It could. Jeff Manto, young Jeff Manto's day might be over. As that ball was just looped out there to left. Some loud contact, but the yard holds it. Two up, two down for Schomburg.
Curiale, last chance here for the Thunder in the fifth. Oh for 2 so far. UCLA product. First pitch to him, misses outside, a fastball. Curiale out of Capistrano, California, the home of Guardians catcher Austin Hedges and Cubs starter Kyle Hendricks. 1-0 from Schomburg, fastball taken inside, evens the count 1-1. Valley, 31st round pick of the Rockies in 2019. 1-1 looping curveball from Schaumburg at 75. Knee height taken for strike two.
Ooh, that was a nice pitch. Absolutely buckled him. Froze him. Didn't know what to do with it. Dropped it right in for a strike. I'm looking at the high cheese right here, Drew. Put him away.
Schaumburg comes set. The 1-2. Tapped foul with the curveball there. It was Curiali, so it keeps the count right where it is.
And he went back to the spicy stuff down low. Got the off-speed cheese, not the high cheese that time. Defensively hacked away in a check swing. Try it again here.
Still a ball and two strikes. Pitch home from Schaumburg. Fastball up and away, trying to induce a chase there, but Curiali certainly smarter than that.
Yeah, kind of wasted that one. I think it got away from him a little bit, went a little too high and away.
Schaumburg set. The 2-2. Curiali hits that one into right center field for a two-out single. Trenkel over to bring it in. Curiali takes a big turn around first just to be safe. And the Thunder get a base runner here in the fifth.
A good piece of hitting right there. Just went with that ball over the heart of the plate and drove it up the middle. No chance for Pinales there. So a base runner. And we're waiting for Curiali to get on base here, hitting over 345 now.
Andrew Cassetti coming to the plate. Pitch in now the glove there of Mauricio Milan on the pitch that was down and away, but Curiali not going to try and possibly run himself into an out. Schaumburg to the stretch. Curiali getting his lead off of first. 1-0 waved at and missed was Cassetti on the fastball. Count evens 1-1. Schaumburg keeping tabs on Curiali. Getting the sign now from Milan. 1-1. Fastball that just misses outside as Cassetti gets back ahead in the count. Two balls and a strike. Schaumburg trying to produce a scoreless fifth here. Black Bears ahead 7-2. 2-1. Drops in a slider on the outer half of the plate that runs a bit too far outside. So 3-1 on the Thunder first baseman. One from Schaumburg, chopped back to the mound, snapped by Schaumburg. He'll grab it himself and toss it to Hernandez for the final out. So Will Schaumburg, a scoreless inning there after the two-out single by Michael Curiali. We're through 4.5 here at the Mullen. It's Trenton 2, West Virginia 7 right here on the Black Bears Radio Network.
If you'd rather it be too cold.
Back here for the bottom of the fifth at Mon County Ballpark, we have a new pitcher for the Trenton Thunder. Despite Tyler Jean striking out the side last inning, it will be Javier Ramos standing in, 6'6", 206 pounds out of Vian, Oklahoma, a redshirt sophomore out of the University of Oklahoma. And he will be working with a new catcher as Tate Ballestero takes over behind the dish for Trenton. We saw Jeff Manto have a rough inning last time, and now Ballestero makes the switch behind the plate, as we'll see him catch for the first time here in this series.
And it makes sense. It really does after the inning that Manto had. So do they forfeit the DH now?
Well, the MLB Draft League has a free substitution rule, so
true.
They may be able to just flip-flop Manto and Ballestero, or they could potentially slot somebody in for Manto in the lineup. We shall see. Ramos, first pitch there, fastball at 94 to Ben Greer, missing high and away for ball one, as Ramos will face Greer, Milan, and Pinales, the minimum here in the bottom half of the fifth. Comes set, delivers the 1-0, Greer chops that one in second, fielded by Bohorquez. He'll toss it over to Cassetti at first for out number one.
Chris Ramos this year with a 6-2-3 in 4 1/3 innings. He's given up 3 earned runs, walked 2, struck out 2. He's also given up 2 long balls. So not out of the question. We haven't seen one here yet tonight.
Mauricio Milan stepping to the plate with nobody on and one out. Mauricio Milan participated in the JUCO All-Star Game this past spring as the first pitch is off speed, misses down and away there to Milan. Middle infield for Trenton. Well back as the 1-0 pitch is hit hard to Cassetti. Ooh. Makes the grab at his shoestrings for out number two.
Really nice heads up play right there. Over at first base by Cassetti. Makes up for his error, maybe?
I would say so, redeeming himself. And now Xavier Pinales standing in after his remarkable grab last half inning.
RBI single last inning as well.
Xavier Pinales doing it all. First pitch he sees here from Ramos, waves and misses at a fastball for strike one.
Ramos impressing a little bit here early. Even though Milan scorched that, just bad luck, but
Ramos working from the right side of the rubber. The 0-1, Pinales slaps it foul back and out of play. So quickly behind is Pinales down to his final strike.
You know, I'm still waiting for a ball to get up here to our booth.
I feel like it's only a matter of time before that happens. 0-2 pitch, fastball up and away, taken for ball one by Pinales. Ramos coming set. Kicks and deals. Pinales skies that one in the air down the left field line. It's playable for McCarthy. He'll take a few steps to his right, backtrack to his left, and bring that one in for the final out. So the Black Bears go down in order 1-2-3 in the fifth. As we're through five innings of play here at Mon County Ballpark, it's West Virginia 7 and Trenton 2.
WVU Epilepsy Center. In our state-of-the-art facilities, we help adults and children manage epilepsy and seizures and offer the very latest surgical treatments. And the WVU Epilepsy Center is a level 4 treatment center, helping people around the region and across the country take back control of their lives. Call 855-WVU-CARE or visit wvumedicine.org/RNI/Epilepsy Center.
Sean Burke getting the ball for the sixth, and he'll do so facing Ryan McCarthy, followed by Caleb McNeely, and Jeff Manto's spot in the order. Whether or not Jeff Manto will hit, only time will tell.
Sean Burke out for his second inning of work. He'll have to face that 3-4-5, as you mentioned. 7-2 here in the fifth. Frederick still leading Williamsport in the sixth. So if all stands to go right now, well, it'll be a one-game lead, which acts like a two-game lead because of the tiebreaker.
Very important there is the tiebreaker. First pitch changeup out of the hand of Schomburg, high and away for ball one.
Be interesting to see who gets the ball in the ninth. I don't think it's going to be Braithwaite because it's a five-run game.
1-0 pitch waved at and missed there by Schomburg. Down and in. McCarthy coming away empty.
Trying to see who there's somebody up there. It looks like Bravo, but there's no way it could be Bravo.
You would imagine that Bravo would be getting a start later on.
Yeah, you would think. That's why I'm saying. But that's also not through my binoculars, so.
Schomburg comes set. The 1-1. Fastball taken inside for strike two.
Of course, Bravo is more than likely going to be with the team the rest of the season. That's definitely not Bravo. Somebody with longer hair, though.
No, it is Bravo.
It is Bravo.
Could potentially just trying to keep himself entertained.
Yeah, that's more than likely.
1-2 pitch misses outside. Off speed there from Schomburg. So the count even again, 2-2.
He's thrown against the wall, I think. Interesting. We'll see.
Two pitch misses outside. It looked like a curveball there from Schomburg, so the count will run full. Ryan McCarthy trying to get the Thunder a base runner here in the sixth. Payoff pitch is chopped to second. Pinales charging it, fires over to first, and just like that, one gone in the sixth.
Nice play right there. Pinales coming in. We've seen his defensive versatility tonight. He went out and got that one earlier. He's made a couple nice plays in the field, including that one he made look easy.
Center fielder, Caleb McNeely. Now Caleb McNeely will stand in.
I'm starting to wonder if Schomburg might finish this one out.
Depends upon how the remaining two-thirds of this one could go. I mean, tell Jed Jerko probably doesn't want to use a fourth pitcher if he doesn't have to, as the first pitch to McNeely has popped up back towards the Black Bears on deck circle. Mauricio Milan over to squeeze it in his mitt for a second out.
And that'll help the pitch count for sure. He threw 19 in the first. That's the only the seventh here in the second. A one pitch pop out by Milan, who did a nice job finding it, which is a hard play for a catcher. You got to get the mask or the helmet off and then locate the ball and stay with it. Two on.
So it'll bring up John Cristino, who's pinch hitting here for Jeff Manto. So his day is done entirely. Cristino will take over as the DH. First pitch curveball there taken for strike one. Cristino, we saw him last night behind the dish for the Thunder. Now getting the opportunity in the later innings this one to DH, as the fastball from Schomburg misses outside, evens the count 1-1.
Of course, the father benching his son after the tough inning behind the plate.
1-1 from Schomburg, dropping an off-speed pitch.
Ooh.
Trying to get it on the inner half of the zone, but just a bit too far inside.
That was a strike, sir. Did not call it. That was a nasty pitch. We saw one of those last inning as well. That thing was gross. Should have been called a strike, but it's not.
Cristino was 1-for-3 with a walk last night as Schomburg drops in a fastball there for strike two.
There's your makeup call. That one was close. I don't think it was a strike, but close enough. So that works.
Certainly do the trick as Schomburg now one pitch away from getting out of the sixth inning. 2-2 from Schomburg as Cristino lines that one right at Blaze Brothers, and that one not going to phase the Black Bears shortstop as they get the Thunder to go down. 1-2-3 in the sixth. We're through 5.5 here at the Mon. It's West Virginia 7, Trenton 2 right here on the Black Bears Radio Network. Bottom of the sixth, top of the order coming to the plate here for West Virginia. Caden Trinkle, Blaze Brothers, Ryan Hernandez. First three up here against Javier Ramos. Of course, Ramos, the third reliever out of the Trenton Thunder bullpen. After Angel Cespedes went three strong innings, only conceding a run. First pitch to Trenkel, fouled down the third baseline. Late swing there from the Black Bear center fielder.
See if they can keep pouring it on here. Looks like we got an arm up in the bullpen for the Black Bears, so Schoenberg's night will probably be done.
No balls and a strike here to Trenkel. Ramos coming set, delivering. 0-1 fastball misses up and away, so the count evens, a ball and a strike.
Work on ID for that guy in the pen there.
Zach Ottinger.
If you say so, Drew, I believe you.
1-1 to Trenkel. Fastball runs down and in, so Trenkel now ahead, two balls and a strike.
How'd you see that through your binoculars? I can barely see that.
I saw the four on the right half of his jersey as he turned and threw a pitch. I was able to connect the dots.
See, I can't even tell.
2-1 to Trenkel. Skies it in the air. Out to shallow left center field. McNeely going to call off McCarthy and bring that one in for out number one. So now Blaze Brothers will come to the plate looking for his first hit of the day. Rare circumstances here with Brothers hitless yesterday and now looking for his first hit this late in the ballgame today.
Also with no runners on, you usually see Brothers getting up with guys all over the bases and he usually cashes in.
First pitch here to Brothers. Skipped in the dirt and passed Ballestero behind the plate. Ball and no strikes. Ramos coming set. Kicks and deals. Pitch runs in and hits Brothers on the shoulder. Black Bears will get a base runner, but a little bit of a painful one if you're Blaze Brothers.
You mentioned Brothers doesn't have a hit tonight. He has a walk, a stolen base, and a run. Then he struck out, then he reached on an error by the first baseman, Cassetti. He scored as well, and now he's on for a third time tonight without a hit.
And Ryan Hernandez will come to the plate. Not the first time tonight Hernandez has stepped up with base runners on.
See if he can do some damage here. He's got an RBI in this one. He's been on base all three times. Only one official at bat with two walks.
Ramos comes set. Pitch down and in. A fastball to Hernandez taken for ball one.
Of course, it's Tuesday here at the park. Everything $2, $2 off. I could use a couple of those $2 hot dogs right now, Drew.
And 22% off at the team store as well for all your Black Bears gear.
Might have to wander on down there.
Brothers takes off for second. Pitch taken for a strike. Brothers in safely. Another swipe bag for Brothers as he creeps his way towards the top.
That's 22. Honestly, at this point, you're up 7-2. Why not send him to third? Why not? If he gets out with, okay, he's out. It's still 7-2. If he's in there, not only do you have a guy at third, but he's all that closer to becoming the stolen base champion here in the first half.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, what do you have to lose?
You know he can do it. It's not like he hasn't stolen third before. He's got 23 of them.
1-1 from Ramos. Hernandez blisters this one into left center field gap. Jimmy Gluski going to wave home. Brothers, he'll take the turnaround third and in standing up. It's an RBI single for Ryan Hernandez in 8-2 West Virginia.
Ryan Hernandez having himself a nice day at the plate. A second RBI single for him. He's been on base all four times. Good day altogether for the Black Bears, who now lead at 8-2. Brothers in easy.
bring up Hunter May now to the plate. Hunter May, 1-for-3, doubled back in the first. We finally have all 7 runs put into the scorebook here, but showing all 5 earned against Gilchrist. We know that will not be the case by night's end as the first pitch to Hunter May is taken for strike one.
Now they have to add another. It's 8-2.
Speak of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a little bit more time here to catch up after sorting out the 6-run nightmare inning for the Thunder. Is that 0-1 off speed? Misses down and away.
I feel like Hunter May has at least 2 extra base hits quietly every single game. He's got a double and 2 strikeouts already. I'm looking for him to find a gap or find some space over the fence.
Ramos coming set at the belt. 1-1. Check swing there from May, but held up in time. Fastball was at 94 there from Ramos.
I was just about to mention that. Some good velo out of the arm of Ramos here. 94, even though it was high.
2-1 to May. Off speed, missing down and away. So hitters count here for Hunter May.
3-1, looking for an unloading type swing here from May. Try and trot around these bases as he's done so many times this season. 5 to be exact in his limited time here. It's been very good.
Got the ace run now in the book.
Perfect.
3-1 to May, trying to do just that and waving and missing at a fastball. 95 from Javier Ramos.
Power on power right there. If he would have connected with that, would have been an absolute no-doubter.
Frederick up 7-3 on Williamsport, top of the 7th. Payoff pitch to May, runs inside, and Hunter May will draw the walk. It's runners at first and second with 1 out now for Merrick Schloop.
Another good AB there for May. Schloop will come in, 0-for-3, a fly out to left, a pop out to second, and a strikeout. He's hitting 227 here. You got to wonder, because you know he's a good baseball player, and he won that D2 National Championship, and he came right here to Morgantown after that. You got to wonder if some fatigue starting to set in here. He's been playing baseball all spring, all winter even.
You'd have to imagine that at some point or another, Merrick Schloop feeling the effects of playing baseball for, at the very least, 4 consecutive months, if not 5, as he takes 95 on the outer half of the plate for strike one.
And I'm sure he'll be happy to get some extended time off here as the first half of the draft league comes to a close, and he hopefully will be on a major league, in a major league system.
Ramos, quick look down to Hernandez at second, delivers a pitch outside, evens the count 1-1.
Frederick up 7-3 in the top of the 7th. 3 outs to go. Looking good for the Black Bears over in Williamsport.
Needing a 1-game lead are the Black Bears. 1-game advantage in the standings, I should say. 1-1 to Schloop, waving and missing on a slider down and away. So Schloop now behind, a ball and 2 strikes.
We've mentioned it multiple times before, the magic number, meaning how many games that combined you have to win and your opponent has to lose, basically, was 5 coming into this one with the tiebreaker. So they could tie atop the top of the standings and still win the draft league. It was 5 coming into tonight.
Ramos coming set. The 1-2 waved at and missed there by Schloop at a pitch that was well out of the zone. We're talking about the fatigue, and that might be where it starts to set in for Merrick Schloop.
Yeah, in an 8-2 ball game, even though you have runners on, not saying he's not trying out there, but it's not the most high-intense situation like we saw him come through in the other day at Mahoning.
Kyle Hess coming to the plate. Speaking of base runners, Blaze Brothers now tied for second in the MLB Draft League stats with 22 stolen bases. First pitch, fastball misses outside for ball one as Buck Anderson from Mahoning Valley did not record a hit, much less a stolen base tonight. And to this point, Matthew Etzel of Williamsport, who is in the lead with 24, has yet to swipe a bag.
Of course, Mahoning lost and is officially eliminated from winning the draft league.
1-0 pitch, fastball waved at and missed by Kyle Hess for a strike.
And even though State College won tonight with the West Virginia win, they would also be eliminated. And that magic number could go down to a 3 for West Virginia with the Williamsport loss.
Ramos coming set. The 1-1 pitch misses outside. Another fastball, 2 balls and a strike. Of course, every Black Bears fan hearing that Mahoning Valley eliminated is music to their ears. The Scrappers throwing a little bit of shade on social media yesterday, but
I got no room to talk.
Those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, and now nice karma coming the Scrappers' way. Quick look down to Hernandez at second from Ramos. 2-1 pitch, chopped right side of the infield. Cassetti fielding it, flipping it to Ramos, covering the bag, and he'll step on for the final out of the inning, so he can score that one 3-1. As we're through 6 innings of play here at Mon County Ballpark, last chance for the Trenton Thunder. It's the Black Bears 8, Thunder 2. Zach Ottinger taking the mound here for West Virginia in the top of the 7th inning. Last chance for the Thunder, and they need at least 6 to keep this one going. Zach Ottinger looking to keep this one right where it is. 2.84 ERA for Ottinger out of West Virginia University, who is very familiar with pitching here at Mon County Ballpark and has had quite a successful campaign here in the draft league.
Yeah, Ottinger has been good. He's made 11 appearances, pitching 12 and two-thirds innings. A 2.84 ERA speaks to his 1-0 record. He's given up 12 hits, 5 runs, only 4 of those earned. Opponents have left the yard on him once. He's walked 2 and struck out 11, a whip of 1.11. Good numbers across the board for Zach Ottinger.
And he'll be looking to take those numbers down a touch here in this one-inning appearance. And he'll be doing so facing off against 7-8-9 for the Trenton Thunder. Tate Ballestero followed by Johnny Weaver and Jorge Bajorquez. Of course, Ballestero 0-for-2 so far here tonight. First pitch fastball there from Ottinger, missing outside for ball one.
Bottom of the order here. 0-for-9 in game one, 0-for-6 right now. And there's a hit.
1-0 pitch lined into center field there for Tate Ballestero, breaking the 0-for-15 stretch that this bottom third of the Trenton order has had against Black Bears pitching.
That's definitely something that you can point to as a reason for the losses here. Of course, today the meltdown can obviously be attributed, but when the bottom third of your order goes 0-for-9 and then 0-for-6, well, 1-for-7 now, that definitely does not help things.
One could argue the meltdown would be more than attributed to tonight's result, as the first pitch to Johnny Weaver is fouled off of his leg for strike one.
Yeah, the 6-run fourth, nobody could do anything right out in the field until striking out the last 3 batters of the inning in the side was Tyler Jeans. Tough inning for the catcher, Manto, at the time.
0-1 from Ottinger. Down and away. Squirts away from Milan. That will allow Ballesteros to advance to second. Would have to imagine that's a wild pitch. Count goes to 1-1.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. Definitely got away from Ottinger there on the mound. No harm, no foul. Up six. That run means absolutely nothing. He could probably walk to third if he really wanted to.
Black Bears infield back, and rightfully so. Ottinger continuing to work here from the stretch in this low leverage situation. 1-1 fastball missing above the letters. Two balls and a strike.
Just come right after him here. No need to be working around anybody.
Quick look down to Ballesteros at second, then delivers. That one skied in the air off the bat of Weaver. Out the center field. Tranquil underneath the bit. Ballesteros tagging. Tranquil going to hit the cutoff man, rather skip the cutoff man and brothers, and fire right towards third base, but Ballesteros in plenty of time.
That was a nice throw there by Tranquil online. Brothers did well in letting it go. Obviously doesn't get there in time, but a little showcase of the arm by Tranquil here.
Jorge Bohorquez stepping to the plate. 0-for-2 so far today. Now you can write 1-for-17 next to the Trenton bottom third as Bohorquez slaps that one into center field for a base hit. That'll score Ballesteros. And Trenton get one back, still trailing by 5. It's 8-3.
2-for-18.
Now, yes, 2-for-18.
That ball was just wrapped right where it came from. Good piece of hitting there by Bohorquez. 8-3 now. Still a comfortable lead. One gone here. Double play will end our game tonight.
Whether it's 1-for-17 or 2-for-18, it's still atrocious from the bottom third of a lineup.
Correct.
First pitch to Exposito. Fastball taken outside for strike one. As the lineup turns over here for the Thunder. Ottinger working from the stretch. Exposito flares that one out into shallow right field. Canales! What a grab, and they're going to dump him off. And the runner in Bohorquez is out. That's the ball game. The Black Bears take it 8-3. Xavier Canales doing it himself in the ninth inning with a double play. He can score it U4 and then a 4-3 double play. We'll catch you here on the replay, showing off the hops with the over-the-shoulder grab. I don't know how he held on to that.
Oh, my goodness. Canales. What a game he had in the field. He made that spectacular running, sliding over the shoulder basket catch in right, deep right field earlier. He made a nice play running, ranging to his right in onto the infield grass earlier, and that caps off the night just how it went for both of these teams. An unbelievable jumping over the shoulder grab, falling to the ground by Pinales, and then the runner, Bohorquez, had no idea if that ball was on the ground or not. He was caught up dead between first and second. It's a double play. Black Bears win. I'm also happy to report that the Williamsport Crosscutters are down to their final out, so it looks like it'll be a one-game lead. The magic number will be 3 with 4 games remaining. All is good in Morgantown. That's 18 out of 22, Drew.
Absolutely, and that one has, in fact, just gone final in Williamsport. 7-3, Frederick, your final score. So the Black Bears, a one-game lead, technically 2 if you incorporate the tiebreaker, with 4 games to play as these country roads are taking your Black Bears home victorious once again tonight, officially taking the series over the Trenton Thunder as we get set to wrap this one up here for you on the postgame show. Drew Von Sayo alongside Mike Seitz will recap this one here for you through these 6.5 innings of ball that we got to see. The Trenton Thunder struck first in the top of the first when Caleb McNeely doubled to right field, scoring Andrew Cassetti. The Black Bears got the run right back, however, in the bottom half of the inning when Hunter May doubled to left center field. That scored Blaze Brothers. Ryan Hernandez was thrown out at the plate. We thought that was going to potentially be an impactful play when Jimmy Galuski sent Ryan Hernandez home and what was a questionable decision, but ultimately didn't come back to haunt the Black Bears. As we saw in the top of the third, Ryan McCarthy doubling to center field. That allowed EJ Exposito to score. That gave Trenton a 2-1 lead. And then in the bottom of the fourth, the Black Bears just let loose, in part with a defensive meltdown by the Trenton Thunder, including catcher Jeff Manto, who had a handful of pass balls, a couple of errors snuck in there in the process. The Black Bears had some hits intertwined there, a single from Xavier Pinales along with Ryan Hernandez, and then the Black Bears were out on top in that one, 7-1. The Black Bears struck again in the sixth when Ryan Hernandez singled to left field, scoring Blaze Brothers, and then Jorge Bohorquez singling to center field, scoring Tate Ballestero in the seventh. The Black Bears taking this one by a score of 8-3 as the pitching, even in a bullpen game, really came through here for the Black Bears. Ryan Mann going two innings, conceding just the one run on three hits. Didn't walk anybody, didn't strike out anybody. Austin Becker, two innings of one run ball, gave up two hits, one strikeout. Will Schomburg, two innings of shutout ball, conceding just a hit, no walkout, no walks, no strikeouts for Schomburg. And then Zach Ottinger conceding a run on two hits, no walks and no strikeouts for Ottinger. So no walks conceded by the Black Bears, 16 consecutive innings against the Trenton Thunder without any walks conceded. And even without the defensive meltdown there by the Trenton Thunder, Mike, that's certainly a great recipe for success.
Yeah, absolutely. The six hits, definitely getting it done tonight. The bullpen game working to perfection. And when you put the ball in play, good things are going to happen, even though they didn't need to necessarily for the entire game tonight. Ryan Hernandez, I would dub as the player of the game for the Black Bears. He was on all four times, two walks, a couple of RBI singles. I'm pretty sure he scored once or twice as well. And it's just odd is how I would describe this baseball game as a whole, because just that inning was just crazy.
I would have to say that odd is a bit of an understatement, but certainly agree with that, as you rarely see a meltdown like you did at any level of baseball. Of course, competitive baseball that is, especially one in the MLB Draft League, where these guys are vying for a spot in one of 30 Major League Baseball's minor league teams, and sometimes that's just how the cookie crumbles. The Trenton Thunder, the latest victims of it here tonight as the Black Bears take the series. We have the series finale tomorrow, which the Black Bears will be looking to complete the sweep. So if you're making your way out to the ballpark, be sure to bring your brooms as that game starts at 6:35. So once again, we'll be back on the air here at 6:05. Mike, your final thoughts on tonight?
Another good win. That magic number, as I've referenced before, is down to 3 with the cross-cutter loss. Your Black Bears are that much closer to clinching it. Tomorrow, time for another sweep.
That'll wrap things up here for us at Mon County Ballpark between the visiting Trenton Thunder and your West Virginia Black Bears, who are looking for a sweep of the Trenton Thunder tomorrow night. Again, first pitch 6:35. Pregame show kickstarting at 6:05. So for my broadcast partner, Mike Seitz, for everybody here in the video production room, along with general manager of the Black Bears, Leon Sonato, I am Drew Von Saya. We will be back here tomorrow night for the series finale between the Thunder and the Black Bears. Continue sticking with us here for the final four games of the season right here from Mon County Ballpark.